So we come back to what we were studying on Wednesday, which is about the Spirit. And in every one of these cases, this word Spirit, Holy Spirit, actually the Helper, the Comforter, has a different word. Spirit of grace, Spirit of truth, Spirit of God, Spirit, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, the Spirit Himself, the Spirit of glory of God and of God, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit who is from God, the Spirit of the Lord God, of our God, of the living God, of your Father, of His Son, and of Jesus. All of those are Spirit. And they're all this word that means air. Air that's moving. So all of those mean something that you can't see. And the thing that I want to share with you this morning is that sometimes the things, and actually all the time, the things that you can't see, that you can't feel, the things that are not material are the things that are most important of all. Not the material things that we strive for. So we looked at all of these. When you think about a spirit, you think about something that someone sees that isn't really there, right? If somebody came to work with you tomorrow and they said, last night I saw a spirit, what would they be talking about? They would be talking about a ghost, an apparition. And they're talking about something that you see that isn't really there. And this word spirit means the exact opposite of that. It means something that you can't see, something that you can't touch, but it is real. It's more real and more important than the things that you can see and touch. Okay? So this is our definition. So let's consider some things that we cannot see and that we cannot touch, but that are real. They're very important. I want to suggest two of them to you, and they're both really related to the same thing. They're love. Can you see love? So what about the love between a husband and wife? Can you see love between a husband and wife? Is it something that you can actually see it? Is it like a bond, like a halo, or a bond between them, or something that you can reach out and touch? You know, when you measure the relationship of husbands and wives, you know, you tend to think about it in legal terms, like a contract. Do you have a contract for your marriage? How many of you do? Quite a few, right? So, and it says that you're going to stick together and you're going to share everything. What else does it say? It says, till death do we part. It says you're going to be of mutual help to each other, right? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things in that contract that people don't read the fine print in it when they sign it, right? You go down to the recorder's office, get somebody to swear you're not cousins, they give you a marriage license. This is in Iowa anyway. And somebody signs it, witnesses, you send it in, and you're married. It's a contract. You think about the contract. What are some other things that you think about in marriage between a man and a woman that bind them together? Children. Okay, children bind husbands and wives together. What are some other things? Money. What else? What? God's supposed to bind them together, yes. That's one of those bonds you can't see. What else is supposed to bind them together in the eyes of the world? You said you saw my name on something. Did it say that anybody else owned that with me?
I don't remember.
Does the one that you have say somebody owns it with you?
It's long to look, I'm not sure.
Oh. So, anybody looked at your abstract lately? Who owns your house?
Oh, the bank.
No, besides the bank. Huh? So, you own it together, right? So, in Iowa anyway, that's the normal way of doing it, is that you own it together. There are some other angles about that, but then the law comes back, and before you're done, you own it together, right? Joint property state. So you have all of this property. But the amazing thing is that people that have all of those things, people that have money, people that have property together, in fact, people that have a lot of money, a lot of property together, and they have children, that those things that are the physical things that you can reach out and touch and see, the things that people think of as holding them together, it doesn't work, does it? Those people split up. Their marriages end. They're separated. And then all of those things that they had that were supposed to hold them together instead of being a blessing become a curse. All of those things. So it's tough. Even the dog.
Yes, but
the... Ooh, that'd be rough.
Half and half.
Half and half. I think the guys ought to get the dogs and the ladies ought to get the cats. So, but anyway, those things, but the thing that remains, though, is what actually holds them together. What really holds a husband and wife together?
It better be love.
It better be love. And it better be the bond that's provided by God, right? Those are the things that you can't say. They're the things that really hold somebody together. When somebody loses those things, husbands and wives, if they have love, if they don't have love, they're gone in an instant from each other. The stress of things that happen. If they do have love, even losing those things causes them to come closer together. Suffering together causes you to be closer together. What about your parents? How many here, your parents are gone? Your parents are gone. You can't go see them. You can't go touch them. Are they still real? They're real, right? They're just as real as they possibly could be. You can't see them, you can't touch them. They're real. Okay? So, what else is there that would fall into that realm? Things that you can't see or touch, but they are real. Think about that for a second while I erase the board here. What else would go on our list of things that are real, even though we can't see them and touch them? Boy, this is giving it up difficultly. Was sharing about, we went to a basketball game that I thought a friend of mine was going to start a riot. I mean, he was down on the court yelling at that ref, and he had people beginning to follow him, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, the cops are going to come. That he was showing that he was the ref made a wrong call that cost our team the game, okay? And he saw more school spirit than he ever wanted to imagine, okay? What does it do when the school, you know, and sometimes, you know, they talk to Lou Piniella about sometimes what he did is he'd go out and purposely get thrown out of a baseball game to fire up his team, to give them spirit. What is it about that kind of spirit that you can't see that's real?
It brings you together.
What?
It brings you together.
It brings you together. Okay. Unity, enthusiasm. Motive? No, it didn't want to write. Okay, so there are all of those things that are about school spirit that you see that you can't see unity, enthusiasm, or motives. And enthusiasm, if I remember correctly, this means being indwelled by the gods, right? This goes back to a Greek word this part of it right here, this is God, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so it means God put into you. Yes? Okay, I want a substitute word for that. Would that fit? You can't see salvation. Is it real? Yeah, it is. Sam? Life. I know. You can't see life. I claim to be alive, right? Do you believe I'm alive? So. Can you see it inside me? Can you actually see the life? You can't, right? Excellent choice. What else? He didn't want to look down there and see if I'm alive.
Didn't know when the last time you brushed your teeth was.
This morning. Eyewitness. So what else? What are some other things that are real that you can't see or touch, but they're very important?
I think about the people that can lift a car after an accident or something. With adrenaline. I don't know. The adrenaline is just an effect of it.
Okay, so let's try this one as strength. Can you see strength? No. You can see it manifested, but you can't see strength.
On the negative side, you can't see anger either, or frustration, or death.
See the manifestation of it, but you can't really see fear. And
that's all.
You remember Gordon Wright explaining why the dog bites you?
No.
Well, you're afraid of him?
Well, he smells you.
Because the dog can't tell the difference between those two emotions in you. Right? People from Missouri know about dogs. Okay. He can't tell the difference between anger and fear. And if you're afraid, he's going to act exactly as if you were
angry.
And he's going to try to protect himself. Okay, so what are some others? I got about 30 others here if you guys run out. Huh?
Your voice.
You can't see your voice. I'm going to put... Actually... Okay, let's do sound. There's two pieces of this, right? And the other is word, right? You can't... Because sound and word are two different things, right? If somebody is a man of his word, what does that mean about his word?
Sound.
You can believe what he says, right? And if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Okay? Yeah, you can't see wind.
I was just going to bring that up when I teach the little ones. A lot of times when they talk about God or Jesus that they can't see, and I'll make a little, like a window frame, put real filming material on my curtains, and then I'll blow on it, and I'll say, you can't see the air, you can't see the wind, but look what it's doing to the curtains, and you can't see God.
But it's real. You said a word in the middle of all of that, you said trust, right? Can you see trust?
Nope.
Is it real? Is it important? Colleen?
Trust or energy?
Can't see energy. Deb?
I should say electricity.
Well, wait a second. You can feel that. I know. I'm sure you can feel that. I'm certain.
But I don't know if there's any of those things.
Say what?
I don't know if there's anything in that wire.
That's true.
If you touch it, you'll know.
Yeah, but that might switch it on. It's still in there.
Okay. Did I spell it right?
Go on to.
L-A-C. Elect.
Z-Z-T.
Okay. That's why I don't want to put it up there, since I can't spell it. Yeah.
Can't see knowledge. Can't see learning.
Ignorance is the opposite of knowledge, and stupid is the opposite of intelligent, right?
Yeah, so let's put and not. And not.
Okay.
What about heaven and hell? We don't have that up there.
Heaven and hell.
What about time?
Can I put them both together? As far as you know, I spell celestial forces correctly. Gravity and the earth moving. Yes, Colleen?
Prayer.
You can't see prayer. You can't see faith. It has a couple buddies. What are the buddies? Faith, hope, love. Anybody know what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:13? Talking about gifts passing away.
Now by these three.
Faith, hope, and charity are love, and the greatest of these is love. Okay, so that's a Bible verse you all know. What are some others?
Can't see the devil.
Hmm?
Can't see the devil.
The devil. Happiness. What about friendship? Can you see friendship? Confidence, right?
More confidence here.
Well, the more you put up there, the more. real while, I don't see very much.
You don't see very much of the important stuff. I mean, just... I mean, I sat down, I thought about this a little bit. Can you see respect?
Nope.
Okay. Can you see sympathy?
Nope.
Can you see welcome? Can you see honor? Duty? How about responsibility? Integrity? Honesty? Patriotism? Dignity? Sportsmanship, which we kind of touched on with the school spirit thing, right? Can you see courage? Remember the lion and the Wizard of Oz and the thing that he was trying to, the thing that ultimately he was told was that the courage was there all along, it's just that he wasn't seeing it. He needed something to bring it out. It was there. He just needed to see it. Can you see leadership? Despair. Anxiety. A big one we should have written down. Sharon, what's something else you can't see that's real? Pain. Is it real? Have you experienced pain? Is it real?
Oh, yeah.
You can't see it, but it's real. Okay. What about peer pressure? Kelly. Where'd Kelly go?
Hiding from you.
Terry. Is there such thing as peer pressure? What does peer pressure cause you to do? Things you shouldn't. It's real, isn't it? It's there. Okay?
We have faith.
Okay? We have faith. And we'll go back and make sure we hit that double in the time that's left. And I have one more, which is compassion. Can you see compassion? Now, every one of these things are things that you can't see them, but you can see like the wind, like air, like the spirit, you can see the result of them, can't you? Yes?
Yeah, it all boils down to manifestation of.
You can see the manifestations of
this. So. This all down here like this. So let's think for a second about compassion. That compassion is real, you can't see it. You can see the manifestation of compassion. What's something that you might do for a person because you have compassion for them?
Visit them in the hospital.
You might visit them in the hospital. Anything else? You might call them and talk to them. What would you do if they were hungry? You'd feed them. What would you do if they were thirsty? You'd give them something to drink, right? Okay, that visit you when you're sick, come visit you in prison, give you something to eat, something to drink. Have you ever heard that story before? Where's it at? Matthew chapter... I think it's 25. It's 24 or 25. Okay, Matthew chapter 24, 25. That there's that story that if you don't do those things, then you're not going to be accepted. Colleen, yes?
Usually, if you have compassion for someone, to make some kind of sacrifice in their life, is there anything to help encourage them to grow?
Okay.
It usually involves a sacrifice.
Yeah, it sometimes involves a sacrifice, but not always. Does it? Yeah, to really be manifest. Actually, that's sort of the test that gets down to the end. So here is somebody that is hungry and thirsty, and they need some shelter, and you provide for them. So, Ward, can I ask you to be honest about something that might shock people a little bit? So, as an officer of the church here, have you ever provided those things to somebody because they came and said they needed them, but you doubted it, but they really did?
Yes, I have.
He said, yes, I have. Okay. Anybody else done that?
Yes. Well, college.
Okay.
I was present at work when that decision.
Has anybody else here, can you kids. Hold up your hands, say, yes, I did, that I have shown the manifestation of compassion when the compassion was really questionable in me. Right? Okay, that you really wondered if the person needed the help that you were going to give them.
Is anybody a parent?
Is anybody a parent?
Is parents do that a lot?
I can tell you something.
You become enablers.
Go ahead.
I mean, to love your children to the point where you overcompensate for something, you know, that they should do on their own, and you become their enabler.
You enable them to not depend on themselves, and that is actually bad for them. Right? Parents sometimes do that. Okay, what's your example?
Molly and I picked this call up, and he gave us a story that he was retired from the Navy, driving a Corvette, stole his Corvette, and anyway, did I borrow $50 or something like that from Don McMahon to give him enough cash for a plane ticket and took him to the bus stop. And when I drove away, I knew that was all not true. He gave me a cell phone number, and I tried calling that, and there wasn't such a cell phone number. And anyway, so we laugh about that a lot. I got an education about how strict some people can be. And also, it was because of compassion that we had on this guy and this bad problem that he had gotten himself into.
But here's the question to come down to is, you manifested compassion toward this man.
Yeah.
Do you have compassion for him, looking back on it, right now? Do you have compassion for him?
Really, I feel sorry for the guy because I'm...
Right?
Yeah.
Are you glad you gave him the money?
It didn't kill me. I'm not real happy about it. No, if I had... I'll tell you what, I think we saw this guy when we were going down to see Massey's back on Interstate 80, I told Mark it would rain. I told Mark, I said, if I thought I could go around and get him, come back here, I'd pick this guy up again, and I'd haul him right straight to jail.
I'm going to take that as no, okay? Okay? There was a movie made about a man named Woody Guthrie. Woody Guthrie was like a famous folk singer writer back in the 20s, 30s, died in the 70s. He wrote, "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land." Right? That song? He wrote that song. And the movie showed his migration. Have you guys seen that movie, Bound for Glory? You guys got to get out more, okay? Anyway, and one of the events in that thing was something that was a real bell ringer for him with religion. And he stopped at this church, and he was hungry, and he asked, and he saw the minister out front, James and the marquee, what they're going to talk about on Sunday, and he asked, what did he ask the guy, Carlene? You saw it? He asked if he could work for some food. Okay, and the minister gave him this long runaround deal of yes, it's an honest thing you've done to ask for work for food, but I don't have any work right now, so it would be wrong for me to just give you food. Right, okay. So, and the point of telling it in the story of his autobiography was about what his attitude was toward religion. Okay, so here it was that he really was in need. He really was hungry. He really would have worked. He would have done anything to earn the food. But the guy that he went to see that represented the church to him basically was making legal arguments about why he shouldn't help him. Okay, is that compassion?
No.
Okay. Now the judgment that Woody Guthrie made was that Christians are not compassionate people based on what that one person did. okay? Or it might have been a group of people that did it. So there's a difference, and I guess this is the point. All of these things are things that you can't see, but they all have manifestations, right? You can see the manifestation of courage. You can see the manifestation of compassion. You can see the manifestation of anger. All of those things are things that you can, that they don't really exist, that while they really exist, they don't really exist in a way you can see them and touch them. But they're real. You can see the manifestations. But it's also possible to see the manifestation of what you think is one of these things without it really being there. And then it becomes that other word for spirit that you see, it looks like it's there, but it's not. With a manifestation, it flips the whole thing back around. Okay. So if you think about this in terms of the spirit, there are some things that, that these things you can't see, and sometimes the things that you can see are not really, they're not real. They're just a ghost, a specter. Okay? If a church is a vibrant and growing church, what might they do? How many people are going to come? Lots and lots of people are going to come. What kind of building are they going to have? They're going to have a big grand building. It seats lots and lots of people. What kind of preacher are they going to have?
Good.
Dynamic and loud, okay? Dynamic and loud. I mean, they're gonna say, yeah, put this monitor thing on your preacher, and he can tell when he's getting to be loud. So, I mean, I'm thinking that it isn't just Dan. It must happen with other people. If somebody else told me that has never met Dan, okay? What's the preacher's wife gonna look like? Beautiful. What's the preacher's kids gonna look like?
Perfect.
What are the elders going to be like in the community?
Old.
Besides old. Okay, they're going to have old elders. So are they going to be poor people that nobody would ever recognize in the community? Or are they going to be important, prominent people, upstanding citizens?
Upstanding.
Okay. Is the church going to have pillars? What does a pillar of a church look like?
We have pillars. People be sleeping.
he's still thinking in Oklahoma. Pillars. P-I-L-L-A-R-S. Don't get ahead of yourself, Dan. Some of them already are. So you know, Dan was telling a story last week about a guy named Wright, who was a minister, and he was telling the story about how that you couldn't possibly something heavier than air fly, and apparently this guy had never seen birds. I don't know, but anyway, the one thing, considering what his sons did, it was pretty obvious that his sons had never listened to his sermons. Right? They might have been there, but they weren't hearing what he said. They just didn't seem to get it. Okay, so sometimes that people look like they're paying attention to you, but they're not. Right? So you got all of these manifestations. When somebody looks at a church, do they tend to judge the church by those physical outward things that they can see?
Of course.
Do they have a soup kitchen? What kind of fellowship hall do they have? How big is the building? What was their attendance? Who are their elders and how many of them did they have? How many people that are strong supporters of the church that show up for things and give the money and do all of those other things? That's the kind of pillars we're talking about here, Dan. We need to think about those. They think about those outward things, those manifestations. But those are only manifestations. They're that spirit that's like a ghost, something that you can see and maybe it's not really there. Have you ever seen something that you saw it and you wonder, was that really there? It happens all the time at churches. And people, God's people, keep coming back to this. What happened back in the Garden of Eden? You know, when God was with Adam and Eve, it talks about, and it says that He used to walk with them in the cool of the evening. And that word cool is the same word that's translated spirit everywhere else. When you feel the cool breeze come in the evening, you just think about God's breath coming over you. Do you have that kind of sense? God used to walk with them in the cool of the evening, and they gave that up for something that they could eat. Isn't that a crazy thing? The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. Remember, it was tough. They weren't very happy about it. God sent them somebody to bring them out. They sent them Moses. And Moses did things like perform miracles. He parted the sea. He destroyed the Egyptian army. He struck the rock. He caused it all to be out. And then he went up to get the tablets. And what did they say? Somebody turn over and read that. Huh? They want a God that they can see. Where do you find that? Exodus 32, 1. Read that for us, Dan. They couldn't see him and touch him. He was out of sight. He was out of mind. They wanted something that they could see. What did Aaron make for them? A golden calf. And God's people, that golden calf is what God's people have been doing perpetually before then and ever since, is that God sent them a spiritual kingdom, and they keep wanting to reach out. All of us keep wanting to reach out for something that we can see and touch. You know, when I remember first Christmas, Chrissy's first Christmas, and I bought her a red Corvette toy car about that long. It was about a third as big as she was, and wrapped it all up, put it under the tree. Christmas morning came, she tore the paper all open. She opened up the box, she reached in, she grabbed that car, she threw it over her shoulder and started playing with the box. I was... Huh? What? Did notice that everybody laughed, right? She threw that thing over her shoulder, beautiful bow tie on the front of it and everything. She threw that thing over the shoulder, she started playing with the box. And when we give up the spiritual part, the important part, the part you can't live without, when we throw that part away and then we focus ourselves on the manifestation of the Spirit, we're doing the same thing she did. We're throwing the valuable thing away and we're playing with the box. Can you see her putting it on her head? Okay. That's exactly what we're doing. But, and it wasn't the only time that happened with God's people. What happened when God put them in the land? He gave them the land he said he was going to do, and he sent judges to judge them, and they were leading the people, and every time they would be threatened, he would send another judge, and the judge would save them. What happened? What did the people say? 1 Samuel chapter 8. Turn over and read it for us, would you? 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 7.
And all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations." But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel, when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and regard all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me for being king over them."
So God had given them a spiritual kingdom, and they wanted a physical kingdom, something that they could reach out and touch. Something that they wanted a king they could see, that everybody else could see, that they could go to him and touch him, and that he would touch them. Yes?
So God even provided for them something physical for them to see it as far as him. I mean, when they walked out of Egypt, he appeared to them by the cloud.
Pillar of fire.
Pillar of fire. And the actual tabernacle was supposed to be a representation of him as well, a physical representation of him.
Right. But he told them what he wanted them to do of the tabernacle, and he told them how to copy the images of things in heaven. He told them exactly how to build the tabernacle, and they had it, and they built it, and they carried it around with them. But when they got the king, King David, They had what God told them He wanted them to have. What did they want to have? What did they build? Solomon got to build it, right? They didn't want the tabernacle that God gave them that represented this, the thing that the cloud went before and that the pillar of fire stood before, the thing that had the power of God. They wanted something physical. They wanted a building. Okay? Diane? Yeah, he did. Well, let's go to that part. Okay? We're going to run out of time, so I better skip ahead to this. He did promise him a king. So he sent the king to earth. And the king that he sent to earth, his own son, came to be a spiritual king. And the people that he sent them to, what kind of king were they looking for? They were looking for a physical, material king, somebody that they could see and hear and that they could reach out and touch. And when he sent them a spiritual king instead, what did they do to him? They rejected him. They crucified him. And then it says this. Let me get back to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." He also established the church. What do we have available to us in the church? Ephesians says we have every, you know how it ends? We have every spiritual blessing. Okay? We have everything in the church. What do people do? What did the people who had the church do with it? Did they say, "We have every spiritual blessing, we don't need to add to or improve on it"?
No, we've got to make it better.
We've got to make it better. We need human organizations. We need hierarchies. We need dogmas. We need human theology, study of God. We need doctrines that we came up with, that they decided to take all of those things. They had the spiritual kingdom. They had every blessing. And they decided, no, we need things that we can see and touch. Physical, real things. Okay? Yeah. They want something they can touch, they can control, they can operate. Okay. So on Wednesday, so we're past our time by minutes, so I'm kind of cheating here. On Wednesday, Dan is going to lead us in something, and if you want to help him, he could use some volunteers. He's going to get our little people to bring their dads to class, and we're going to look and see how dads act. Okay, if you ever wanted to watch how dads act, these are going to be little people. I think they can draw that out of them. They're going to find something to do that little people can do only with a little difficulty. Okay, we haven't picked what that is yet. If you've got an idea, Dan would love to see it. If you got a video camera, you'd like to video it, that would be great too. Any other ideas, Dan? Those things will do it. Okay, so we're going to get them that Wednesday night. We're going to skip away from the schedule. We're going to do that on Wednesday. Next week, we're going to talk about the carnal Christian. Okay, on Sunday. Thanks for sticking over with me. Come on in.